First, researchers have long assumed that keeping humans away from eagle nests can help the birds live, grow, and reproduce. And new research from the University of Wisconsin-Madison appears to prove that theory.
The study combined 40 years of data from Voyageurs National Park, which is in far northern Minnesota, near the Canadian border.
Ben Zuckerberg is an associate professor of wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and is one of the study's authors. Central Time host Rob Ferret talked to him recently about the study.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first, let's look at the big picture for bald eagles. What was the low point here in Wisconsin, and how have they recovered since then?
Yeah, so bald eagles have really undergone pretty dramatic population changes over the past two centuries. They were really rare in the mid-1900s, primarily due to human persecution and pesticides, notably DDT, and they were eventually listed for protection under the Endangered Species Act in 1978. So dating back to the early 1960s, there was less than 400 nesting pairs throughout the entire lower 48 United States, and to now they're nearly about 10,000 nesting pairs. So they've come up quite a bit, and in 2007, the bald eagle was officially delisted. So they have definitely recovered over the last 30 years or so, thanks to a number of different environmental protections and good efforts of the conservation agencies.
Yeah, it sounds like we did a bunch of stuff. A lot of different efforts were behind this. And what you're trying to tease out is what works. So what actually made the difference? Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. And one really important strategy that a number of agencies started implementing really around the 1960s was the use of what was referred to as these buffer zones around nest sites. And the idea behind these buffer zones is that agencies would set up areas that would generally restrict human activities. And the idea is to kind of keep human disturbance to a minimum so eagles can be kind of flustered by human activities like hunting, hiking, fishing, or boating. And in doing so, eagles can become agitated and potentially flush and even sort of lead to nest abandonment.
So this is if I'm out in nature and I'm not actually trying to interfere with the eagles at all. I'm doing whatever my thing happens to be, as you say, boating or hunting or whatever. I theoretically could be causing damage to those eagles without trying to.
Exactly. And that was always something that many sort of managers thought maybe a potential problem for eagles, especially in terms of their recovery and their nesting success. And so they decided to implement some of these strategies to try and minimize as much human disturbance around nest sites as possible. So eagles will tend to nest in sort of these big trees that are right near sort of open bodies of water like lakes and so forth. And they wanted to keep the disturbance around these nests to a real minimum.
And is this, do they post year-round, hey, don't come near this nest, or is it a seasonally important thing? How did that work on a practical level?
Yeah, it's a very seasonal thing. So during sort of the course or the, I'd say sort of the beginning of spring and into summer, they would set up these buffer zones once eagles have begun to establish these nests and start, you know, clearly feeding their young. And so they wanted to protect them from any kind of sort of activities that might interfere with some of those sort of breeding activities.
So hearing you describe it as a layperson, I hear, okay, we did these protections. It makes sense why they'd work. Eagle numbers are up. Great, it worked. But as scientists, as people who study the environment, you want a little more detail than that, right?
Exactly. And one of our sort of goals was to determine whether this really widely used management action that's not just applied for bald eagles, but other sort of raptor species as well, do setting up these buffer zones actually help the overall population? I think it makes sense that for an individual nest, that the more you do to kind of minimize any human disturbance surrounding that nest should do better. But over for the entire population, do we actually see that benefit play out? And so to do that, we teamed up with researchers at the National Park Service and the U.S. Geological Survey to answer this question in Voyageurs National Park, which is in northern Minnesota. It's a really beautiful national park. It's got a number of different activities from boating, camping, and hiking. But starting in sort of the early 1990s, the park staff began to set up buffer zones around a handful of eagle nests per year, and they started using warning signs to sort of deter boaters and campers from disturbing these nest sites. And the nice thing about this park and the staff that have been working there is that over the last 40 years, the staff have been conducting these annual aerial surveys of where bald eagles were nesting and whether the nests were in fact successful.
Talking to Ben Zuckerberg, Associate Professor of Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison, talking about an effort to protect bald eagles and to figure out if that protection is working, in this case, buffer zones around eagle nests. So, Ben, it seems like it would be hard to tease this out, because if you know you're doing this, you're seeing eagle numbers going up, is that, well, it's still the residual effect of banning, say, DDT? Is it a habitat management nearby or elsewhere? Is it better food sources? How do you tease out whether this one thing, these buffer zones, are actually making the difference?
Yeah, and that's a great question, and that was really the challenge going into it. And it really would not be possible to answer that question without these surveys that were being conducted for the last 40 years in the park, going all the way back to the early 1980s, and you can actually be able to sort of track individual nests, both where eagles were nesting, but also how well they were doing. So how many nestlings did they have? Were those nestlings sort of successful in terms of surviving and eventually fledging from the nest? And so having that sort of really nice data set that goes back decades allowed us to kind of track whether or not this management, the setting up of these buffer zones, actually influenced the population overall. So what we were able to document was that by following that breeding population, the number of nesting pairs really hovered around 10 pairs or so, really dating back to late 1970s and really up until sort of the early 1990s, and that's when they really started to take off, and now the park hosts almost 50 pairs of bald eagles. And importantly, around the early 1990s is when they started setting up these buffer zones. And so what we were able to really capture and be able to measure was that eagles were more likely to, in fact, use a nest that was protected using these buffer zones the year before. And those eagles that actually were able to nest in these areas, in these buffer zones, resulted almost in an 8% increase in their nesting success and a 13% increase in the number of young that they were able to produce per nest. So this may seem like a fairly small benefit, but what we actually showed was that this practice increased the number of breeding pairs of bald eagles at Voyagers by almost 40%.
Right, 8% or 10% or 13% a year over the course of a couple decades, that starts to add up, right?
Exactly, and that's exactly what we were able to show, that by having these buffer zones set up, that the overall population was able to recover much faster.
So good news there. Now, can we take this lesson and, as you said earlier, apply it to other raptors who might be in dire circumstances elsewhere?
Absolutely. And I think that is really one of the strongest applications of this kind of approach, is that even though what you could think of as being a very sort of individual level management, where you're kind of going to individual nests and even just having a few of these nests within a population, that the benefits pay out over a long time. And that benefit to the population can actually occur for species that are beginning to recover and maybe even hasten that recovery.
Do you have usual suspects in mind, other raptors that you think, hey, this could be a benefit for these specific guys?
I definitely think other species like ospreys that are species that is another bird that has really suffered sort of the post-DDT effects. They have shown a very similar trajectory in terms of their recovery over time. And in fact, a number of sort of management agencies think about buffer zones as well for ospreys.
When I think of the realm of environmental interventions, there are some really expensive fixes out there. This is putting up signs. This seems like a pretty cheap way, if it's working, to do this kind of thing.
Absolutely. And to me, this is a nice story in the sense that all of conservation is not all doom and gloom. This recovery represents one of the continent's most successful conservation stories. And I think it also is an important tale in the sense that when given support, both in terms of funds and environmental laws and protection, our conservation agencies can be very successful in what they do. And something as simple as setting up buffer zones can be a very effective means of conservation.
We'll leave it there for now. Ben, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great. Thank you.
That was Central Time host Rob Ferret talking to Ben Zuckerberg. He's an associate professor of wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and one of the authors of a study that found protecting eagle nests from humans can help the birds prosper.